Praise God. Thank you for that song, Jim. That was great. Today we'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let us pray today. Heavenly Father, we just come for you. We always just thank you for your living word that speaks to us. Every time we read it, God, we pray that today you would just anoint James, fill him strongly with your spirit. I pray that everyone here would be filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and they would just open their hearts and ears and listen and learn today and apply it to their lives so that they can make a difference in the world around them. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings and your love for us, and we ask you to just speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. And Jim, I love that song. It's a great reminder of why we should grow as a Christian. You know, the title, Growing Up, but it's a question mark at this title. So there's a word that's missing in it, and the word is are you growing up? Well, I want you to think about this. Growing up as a Christian. Are you really on a path that's going to lead you to the end goal that God wants you to have as a Christian person? When I was a younger pastor, there was an old wrinkled-skinned old pastor that would show up at the pastor's breakfasts that we had once a month or however. He'd try to sit down by a younger preacher, and he would ask the same question. You know, he'd say, hey, son, are you growing or swelling? I kind of stayed away from that old man, you know, because I got the feeling he was prophetic and would try to put you on the spots and ask you, well, what you doing to grow and all those kind of things. But you know, it inspired me to think about that. So I want to ask you the same question. Are you growing or swelling? Swelling means prideful, but growing means you're really growing. In researching this, and studying about it, I got to thinking about the human elements, because we can always, you know what a parable is? It's giving an earthly illustration of a spiritual truth. And that's what Jesus did in his teaching. What made him such a great teacher is that he would get you on the earthly level, and you can see that, and then he'd say, but there's a spiritual truth you need to apply to this, because you may be missing out completely on the spiritual principle and power that God has for you, while easily understanding the physical, natural illustration he gave. And that's why he said some people can only see that, so that in hearing they do not hear, and in seeing they do not see. So I want to try to explore this thing about spiritual growth with this illustration. In my research, I discovered that there were a really terrible disease that there's only a handful or more, not many, people who ever get this disease. And it's a terrible disease. It's a disease where you don't grow physically in your life. Now, most of the kids that have this, their parents go through misery. They don't realize for a good while that their daughters, seems like more daughters have this than boys, sons. But they just, after a while, they realize they're not growing. They're not getting bigger. And that's the only thing they see at that point, is that they're not getting bigger. Then they see that there's something about their life that's not right, that doesn't develop, like speaking correctly or speaking at all, and maybe hearing or something else like that. And they're just greatly incapacitated, obviously. And they have this 11-year-old little girl that's still, you know, maybe not even walking yet. And it's a grievous thing. There's one fellow who, this is the most positive one, I guess, in all that I read, from South Korea. See, his name is Hum Young Chin. I'm not sure that's pronounced right, but he's a 26-year-old man, but there in his pajamas on the bed, that being interviewed, you'd think he was 9 years old. Looked about like a 9-year-old fella. He's fully developed in every other way as far as his mental and everything. He's been driving for years. He's got a driver's license, showed his driver's license. And he says that he goes to the bars and drinks and dances, and yet he's not in puberty yet. He hasn't reached the age of puberty. And he's kind of well known in South Korea, and he's got a special name. I forget what the name is that they call him, but he's kind of a celebrity almost, but he's not growing. He looks like he's 7 or 8 years old. He's 26, and he's not growing. There's things that he's just not experiencing. So in your life, and what I'm thinking as Christians, when we look at the first century Christians, how rapidly they grew, how quickly they became mature. And even in some of the 17th century, 18th century Christians, a fellow that I really admired greatly was David Brainerd, when I started reading about great Christian men. And then I discovered David died at the age of 29. But at the age of 29, he had mastered so much. It was such a grown Christian, mature. He went out to the Indian tribes along a river. At, what was that river? The Delaware River. And he gave his life there as in his young 20s, and died at the age of 29. But David Brainerd brought the gospel to the Delaware Indians. And it's a tremendous story about his life and a great thing. But he was mature at 29. One of the greatest preachers we've ever known is Charles Spurgeon, who pastored the Great Park Baptist Church there in London. And he started preaching, and crowds came to hear him preach, so much that they had to build a big tabernacle. And I was reading some of his sermons, and he was 21 years old when he pastored the biggest church, 19 or 20 years old when he pastored the biggest church in London, and had never gone to seminary and those kind of things. But God, he just was, from the age of 16 years old, he gave his life so fully to God and did such great things that God, he was just such a mature man of God. We can grow so much greater than we're growing as a Christian. And it was the most amazing opportunity that you have as a human being, is not to be more educated, not to have more money, not to have great talent, not to be someone that everybody knows and be so famous, but that you can grow as a Christian and touch the world around you. And so, are we growing? What does it mean to grow, and how do we grow as a Christian? I want to, in my first part of this message, this is what this passage is all about. Did you read along with Brother Rick and see what he's saying there? He said, every one of us has been given a measure of the gift of Christ. Do you know what that means? That means Jesus Christ is in every one of us, but the measure given to us is the measure that we're able to release out to the world. What happens to you, Sister Mary? Where are you? When you have been given a measure and you start giving a measure back, what happens? Exactly. So whatever measure of Christ that you've been given, the ability to express God express Christ to the world. When you get saved, all of us have Christ in us. And the more that we're able to express him and be like him to the world around us is the measure that we're giving back to God. What God has given you is his gift to you. But what you give back to God is your gift to God. And when your measure is coming back to God and you want to give more to him, learn more of him, be more aware of him, let God use you more, that's the measure you're giving back to God. And you can become, in a short time, a powerful, mighty man, woman of God. As a young person, you can become, I hope some of you children that are here today will decide, I'm going to be the most spiritual girl on the campus where I go to school. Would you consider praying about that? You too? Would you? No, this way if it's yes, this way if it's no. Okay. Okay. Well, really, I think you want to, don't you? I do. So you young people that are here, I want to challenge you. Where are the rest of y'all? Ducking your heads down, I see it. Okay. All right. Well, you want to grow as a Christian? Okay. Praise God. All right. So that's all listen then to understand. First of all, we check to see, are we growing? I want to ask you a few questions about this. Are you using the gifts that God has given you for his purpose? See, how many of you kids know and adults know too that the talents, abilities, and gifts that you have are not your own? They were given to you by God. Are you using what God has given to you for his purposes? Now, I know that all of us use what God has given to us for our purposes. That's the natural thing to do. We do the things we want to do for our purposes, but I'm asking you, how much of what you have in your life, of your intellect, of your heart, of your talent, of your abilities, are you willing to lay out there and put it out there for God's use? That's the question I want you to think about. Are you using what God has already given you? Because like Mary said, if you don't use it, Mary, I don't think you expounded on that, did you? But what happens when you don't use it? Even what you have is taken away from you, the Bible says. He that has, more shall be given. But to him who has not, even what he has is taken away from him. And when God gives you something, if you don't nurture it, and you don't thank God for it, and you don't use it, then even what you had at one time slips away from you. How many of you know that at one time you had more fervor for God? Maybe you can even do things better for God, and now it seems like you say, well, I just can't do anything much anymore. You see, that's the kind of lies that Satan wants to put in the hearts and minds of people. And because you can go out in a blaze of glory. I'm 70 years old this year. I look like I'm 35. Well, no, 37, amen. No, but what I'm saying is, I have been, God is helping me to get better in my older age. That's why people are telling me, if you don't believe it, don't tell me anything differently, okay? Well, I believe it, but I can walk faster and further than I could a couple of years ago. I can work harder than I used to could. I study longer than I used to study. My mind seems to be keen. If you don't believe that, don't tell me differently. I'm not going to believe it. But I am seeing that God wants to help us grow as a Christian. And the more we are concerned about our spiritual life, the greater will our physical life become. I'm telling you this, I hope you believe it, that the more you concentrate on your spiritual life, the better off you're going to be physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, socially, and in every way, your life is going to improve drastically if the spirit inside of you improves and you grow. What made Daniel such a powerful man that he was put to the top of all the other wise men of the kingdom of Babylon, and he was next to the king? What was it about him that caused him to be elevated and promoted? No one had a spirit like Daniel. The Bible says over and over he had an excellent spirit. What did that mean? That means something indescribable, undefinable to natural man was so powerful inside that man that the king said, man, this guy, he can interpret dreams. He is pleasant to be around. How many of you would like to be more pleasant to be around? Amen. So that people love to be around you. So that when you come home, your spouse's eyes just boom, you know. He or she's home, you know. because of the spirit that you bring with you. I mean, we have a wonderful spirit in our church. How many of you feel that way? How many of you don't hardly feel better any other time during the year, the week, than Sunday mornings when you come in? You feel the energy and the spiritual lives of other people who have great spirits. So we're concentrating on the growth of our spirit. So we got to use what God has given us. Now, here's another question for you to consider. Are you taking advantage of the benefit of the gifts of others in the body of Christ? That means other gifted people around you, do you draw from their gifts? You become like the people that are around you and that you fellowship with. You know that, don't you? And so that you can draw from the gifts of others. That's why I ask people to pray for me. You know, I pray for myself. You know, I prayed about this thing here that I had on my chest, like I mentioned, but when I asked one other person to pray for me, I could have asked 10 people that would have been willing to pray for me. But I know that Paul likes to pray for the sick. I know that he feels he's seen people healed, so I just asked him to pray for me, and that thing was gone. I mean, my skin is like the skin of a child. Here, you can't see. I'm not lying. You want to see? Okay. Good. Yeah. I would not have shown it to you anyway. Want you to know I'm not that nuts, you know. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. God says, use the gifts of others around you. How many of you are enjoying Brother Billy's gift? Okay, amen. If I were to announce, hey, we're going to let Billy sit out here and I'm going to play the piano for you, I'd be stoned, you know. I mean, I want to use his gift. I love Morgan's leading. I love her presentations of stuff. I like to hear others pray in the church. I want to drink in what my brothers and sisters have to share, because in the reading, did you see that every member receives nourishment from the other members, and it's Christ coming through the other members to nourish them, and everyone, it says, is joined together in an invisible bond, but you're receiving the grace of God, because to each of us is given grace according to the gift of Christ, and we need to receive it. And because most of us, or not most of us, but many of us are so self-conscious about our own self that we can't really receive from other folks. And so when I listen to other preachers preach every week. I listen to, I don't know how many sermons, but quite a few. I listen early in the morning, Carol and I listen to sermons and listen to others. And I try to draw from other people because they have gifts. Are you letting the other people in the body of Christ minister to you, and are you ministering back to them? That's a question to consider about spiritual growth. Are you really engaged in the work of the ministry? Because we see here that Paul says in this passage, he says that God has given some gifted people like apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry. In that passage, who's doing the work of the ministry? Come on, help me. In that passage, who is doing the work of the ministry? Everybody, the bride of Christ, the whole people, and the pastors and evangelists and prophets and teachers are equipping all of the members to do the work of the ministry. So all of us should be doing the work of the ministry, whatever that is. And there's a large number of things that can be done in the work of the ministry. And so we receive from the gifts of others, strength and growth, so we can work in the ministry and work in the service of God. Oh, one of these days, you know, we're going to stand before God, and what is he going to? Is he going to take out our financial resume and see how well we did in that area? Is he going to say, let me see the degrees that you were on the wall. Let's talk about your education and training. Or is he going to say, well, let me see how much, how did you do athletically? Were you an all-star in Little League Baseball? Or did you, all this stuff, what, you know what he's going to say. He's going to say and give an account for the things we did in this body that bring glory to him. That's what he's going to go over, how we worked in the ministry in our lives and what we did. That's what we'll stand before God and look at. So we're being equipped now for the work of the ministry. So you could ask yourself, well, how am I fitting in that? What am I doing that's really a part of the work of the ministry? Because that's what we grow to do. We don't grow to hang up things on our wall. We don't grow just to receive more money. We don't grow for other reasons. We grow to do the work of the ministry. Then the second one is, are you edifying? That is adding spiritual value to those in the body of Christ. And I feel that a lot of that's being done in our church. I really do. I feel edified and lifted up and built up in so many ways. Just a recent one, Chris, Carol and I were wanting to follow up on what you shared about being more healthy in the class. And so we're starting that we haven't done it yet, but we're going to be doing that. And we were thinking about how the value that was going to add to us. And so when we start thinking of how can I add value to people and around me, and you can do that with your handshakes, your hugs, your words of encouragement. There's 100 ways that you can add value to people all the time. And that's what a person who begins to really grow as a Christian, they're not asking themselves, what am I going to get out of this deal? You know, what they're asking themselves is what, how can I help this brother? How can I help this sister? How can I be used of God to bring value to my brothers and sisters in Christ? And that's edifying. That's what it means to edify. You're building up the soul, which is the mind, emotions, and will of other people. You can help people make better decisions. You can help their emotions feel better. You can help them think through things and come to the right decisions and right kind of thinking. How many of you know that you have had some crazy thoughts at times? Can I see your hands? I feared of that, you know. But we do. We all have crazy thoughts at times, jealous thoughts, thoughts that nobody loves us, thoughts that we can't make it. And all of this is just evil surmisings, the Bible calls it, but it's evil thinking that comes from the devil. A lot of times we feel this way in our relationships when it's not true at all. But so we can help each other, add value to each other by helping the way we think and let others minister to us in that. Now, growing in faith, are you really growing in your faith and helping others to grow? I was thinking about faith in this question, and just looking back over my own life, I can remember when I had such little faith to believe God for anything. And as the years have gone by, my faith has grown, and almost nothing discourages me now very long at all, because of all that I've seen that God could do in the life of a person, all that he's done for me. And so I have faith. My faith is much, much stronger than it used to be, and I'm more pleased with that than I am anything else in terms of what I might own, what I might have done in life, that I have some faith that God has given me. That's one of the great, I consider it to be right at the top of my balance sheet when I'm looking at the assets that's in my life, my personal faith in God and what he's done for me. Because I can believe that for other people. If I see my children or grandchildren or friends that I love in a need, I might get discouraged if I only think about that need. All I've got to do is think about faith. And just what these children, did you hear? I'm going to challenge you. What was the children's verse of the year, of the month? Who knows what it was? Say it. Why was not the rest of you paying attention? What was it? Yeah, Hebrews 11:3, man. I love to hear that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to have the power of God in your life. So you need to build up your faith. And that's what we're doing these 3 months on Wednesday night, and messages I'm preaching on Sunday morning are aimed at this. And then a class on Sunday morning that's going to start in a couple of weeks with some. I'm not expecting everybody to be in that class, obviously, but those that have a greater desire for that will have an opportunity for that. Now, how do you put yourself on a quick start growth pattern as a Christian? Let's say today that you've been challenged by what we've already said. You ought to be thinking, well, now I want to change this. Here's the first thing that comes to mind from the text. Keep your goal in sight. Look what it is in verse 13. In verses 11 and 12, he says, we have all these people that are helping us grow. For verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, that means maturity. Actually, that word means maturity. For the maturity of the saints, so they grow up. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till all of us come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, I want you just to think about that. How many of you know that you ought to have a goal in life that's bigger than you think you could actually reach? Every goal needs to be that way. And for some of us, this has happened to me. We've had a goal that was bigger than we thought we could reach, and we surpassed it in a short period of time. Because that's what happens when you get a goal that's bigger than you can reach. God comes to help you. Because you will call out upon Him and say, I cannot do this without Him, but I have a goal that's bigger than I really could reach, but I believe God is giving me this goal, and if it's bigger than I can reach myself, then God, it's a God-sized goal. How many of you have really believed in your life, and you use it on a regular basis, that I can do all things through Christ who is my strength? That needs to be a foundational faith belief in our hearts and lives, that we can do anything and we're ready for everything that God might lead us to do in our life because of Christ that is in us. To each of us has been given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. In other words, some of us show more of Christ than others do. We show it to the measure, but if we keep showing what God has given us and we keep using what God has given us, He will give us more and more in all the areas of our life. This is what we need to understand to grow. So keep your mind, your goal on becoming just like Christ. That's not what you want to do. It's not too big a goal. It's what God says He's going to do in us. The Bible says, for example, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to what? His purpose. And then He tells us what His purpose is. For whom He did foreknow, them He also called to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many, many brethren. You know, one of these days when we all get to heaven, I'm going to look over and see Carolyn, and I'm going to say, is that Jesus there? Well, it's Carolyn, but she's just like Jesus. And she's going to look over there and say, boy, James hadn't made it yet. You know, I may not have gotten there. I don't know. But when we get into heaven, we're going to be there. We're going to be conformed so we think like Christ, so that we feel like Christ, so that we act like Christ, so that we decide like Christ. But even now, we can grow more and more to where we're thinking like Jesus thought. And I've told you before that I sat beside a dying friend who had just had a heart attack, and he called me late at night. He was an older man in his 80s, Bob Good. And that when I got there, he was sick and had vomited on himself. And I was cleaning him up and praying for him and ministering to him. And I was on my knees. He was sitting in blue pajamas on his couch, lived alone. His wife had died. His mother had died. He was by himself except for the church family. And he was a member of our church, and he was a great guy. But as I sat there on my knees and I washed him, and he said, I'm so sorry, Pastor, I had to call you this late at night. And I said, okay. I said, please. No, I love doing this for you. I said, I thank you for calling me. And so 911 had been called, and they were coming soon. But as I sat there, it came into my life that I never had ever felt more like Jesus Christ than that night. And not any, the best message I ever preached, the best thing I can think of I've ever done, did I feel what I was feeling that night. I was feeling like Christ. And I was doing exactly what Jesus Christ would have done if He'd have been there. And so when we are saying growing, you can become like Christ. How many of you know you can get rid of your rotten attitude? Say amen. Amen. You don't need to keep that. How many of you know you can stop having to discourage? Did you think Christ was discouraged at anything that took place in His life? He wasn't. He was willing to take it right on the chin and go through it, even though he didn't want to. He asked God if there's any way out of it, but he embraced the suffering that he had to do in his life. And you can too. You can too. You can be like Christ, and you don't have to be feeling sorry for yourself ever. Instead of feeling sorry for yourself, you could be glorifying God. Which would you rather do? Go around with your lip poked out, feeling sorry for yourself, or glorifying God? You can choose. You can be like Christ, or you can be like the world when things go wrong in life. I love to see when a Christian, the pressure, I don't love to see them under pressure, but I love to see their faith-filled response under pressure, don't you? That they never give up. They never go sour. They never get bitter. And if they do, they crumble. But they'll be stronger if they will. So keep your sight. Keep your goal on the sight. And be no more children, Paul says here in this passage, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That he's talking about, don't let the influence of false teaching or false beliefs make you act like children. How many of you have ever said in your heart, you don't have to raise your hand about this, but nobody really cares about me. Probably most of us at one time or another have said that, when that was simply not the truth whatsoever, but we were tossed like a child. That's the way children think. I've seen children just so upset because of some small thing that's happened that they didn't get in their life. I had a teenage friend who was 16 years old and took his life, blew himself away with a 16-gauge pump shotgun because the new car that he had gotten from his dad didn't have a tachometer on it. And he really wanted a tachometer with everything else on it. And he got mad at his dad about it because he wanted, and he blew himself away. Now see how that a childish, evil thought like that, when he had, Tom Davis and I were driving in cars that you had to have special permits to ride in it because you know. Okay. But what I'm saying is this. We can act like kids. And the sad fact is that some people go through their entire life acting like children and get to be an old man or old woman, and they are just as childish as they were when they were 3 or 4 years old. You know, I was thinking about age. A wise person said, age or wisdom should come with age. But sometimes age just comes along. Without the wisdom, without all the things that could accompany age, you could be learning, you could be growing. Two women were contrasting my early life as a young Baptist preacher at this church. They were both about the same age. I remember both of them like it was yesterday for different reasons. One of them lived in a little house trailer behind me, and she was such one of the sweetest women you would have ever met. They called her Granny, and I remember her name, though, after all these years, over 40 years, I remember her name. And she was the sweetest woman. Every time I was around her, I was so encouraged. I'd go to knock on her trailer sometime to come by there, not to see how she was doing, to get her to pray for me, you know, or something like that. I just want to be around her a little bit. She'd come and she'd go, oh, I hadn't got my teeth in. And she said, just a minute, I also got snuff. And so she'd run, and then she'd say, I'm sorry, I dip snuff, Brother James, but it's the little thing I do sometimes. And so we'd sit down, and I was just always so blessed. The other woman, however, she told me the first week I was there, she said, I'll tell you something, preacher. She said, we may not pay your salary if other things come first. She said, if we have other needs, don't you think you'll get a paycheck? This is the first week or two I was there. I was making $75 a week. And so she said that several times, reminded me, because I got the idea that they didn't pay the preacher sometimes, you know. And so she made that really clear. She would reprove me right in the middle of a Sunday school class I'd be teaching and say something so harsh and everything. I preached on the love of God once, and I thought, this woman needs it, you know. And so, man, I did everything I could to let her know I was preaching to her. And when she came out, she said, you know, she said, that's one of the best sermons you ever preached. And I said, well, praise God, under my breath. And she said, I wish them that needed it could have been here. You know, so that's what she said. I want to tell you, she was a young Baptist preacher's worst nightmare. And for 2 years, I was her pastor. And when I left the church, I had tears of for some that I was leaving behind and tears of joy for one I was leaving behind. And she had not grown as a Christian in her life in all those years. She knew a lot of the Bible, and boy, she could quote it. And she can really rip you up and down with things, you know. But the love of God, I have to say, I never felt it once in her life. And the surest way that you can know you're growing as a Christian is that your love is growing. And others feel it. Others know it. And you feel God's love in your heart. And so being like Christ will produce that in our life. Now here, let me mention these. And I may go through some of these last time, but Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, I don't have time, but I did some research. Here is a list of the worst of kids' personality traits. And there's a bunch of them. There are things like they're easily discouraged, fearful, fussy, forgetful, gullible, greedy, grumpy, irresponsible, jealous, judgmental, lazy, mannerless. They don't have manners. There's a big list of these, and you may have a bunch of them, you know. You ought to go online and look this up because those don't disappear if you don't grow. At the nursing homes, if you've been in the nursing home ministries much, Myra's fixing to testify to this. Some of the sweetest people in the world are in the nursing homes, and some of the ugliest, meanest people in the world. Is that right, Myra? I went to a nursing home once, and there was a man and a woman locked in deadly combat in two wheelchairs, pushing against each other right in the middle and trying to hit each other and stuff. And I said, does somebody need to break them up? They said, no, they hate each other, but they can't hurt each other, thank God, you know. And so... And you could wind up that way if you don't grow as a Christian. You need to grow as a Christian. So here are the things you need to do. Brother Tom prayed about it. You have to increase your intake of the Word of God. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall a man live. You grow as a Christian with the intake of the Word of God. You know, it's great to hear it on Sunday, but you ought to get some of it every day. You ought to feed yourself every day with God's Word. And it doesn't have to be a lot. Sometimes one or two verses are more than I can handle in a day, really thinking about them and really putting them to practice. But make sure you do it every day. The Apostle Paul said this group of people were so much more honorable than the Berean Christians because they searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were true that they were hearing. So you have to take God's Word. You need to make it big in your life. And if you're not a good reader or you can't read as much as you used to, then avail yourself to the TV, the radio, and all that you have to take in the Word of God. Learn to increase. Okay. I'm going to stop here because I'm not going to do justice to these. They're too important for me to just spend a little time with. We're going to stop right here. Especially this next one about learning to have desires to grow spiritually, because you're not going to do anything that you don't desire to do. How many of you know that's true? Unless your heart's touched with a desire, I don't care how good it is for you, you won't do it. I don't care how bad it is for you, you'll keep doing it if you don't have a desire to do something different. So I want to come back to that because it's worth the whole Sunday morning. Let's bow our heads and let's just ask God to help us grow as a Christian. Heavenly Father, it is so important. When I look at my own life, I'm disappointed in a sense that I'm not further along. I thought I would be further along than I am, and I'm sorry that I have not grown as much as I should have. But I have a new desire to grow and to really help others to grow. And I pray that every person in this congregation will become a flame with a desire to grow and become like Jesus Christ in their marriage, in their job, in their home, in their private life, and when no one else is around, they're just enjoying the sweet fellowship of the living God in their hearts and lives, full of joy and compassion, full of Jesus. May it be so. For someone here today that never really met Jesus Christ yet, we live in a country where he's been preached for so many years, so many churches on every corner in every city, and yet so many who don't really know Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you really cannot say that you know Christ, would you consider doing these three things? The first one the Bible calls repentance. It's repentance of sin, and that's the recognition that you know you've fallen short. You haven't. You know something's wrong inside your life, and you come to a place of being wanting to change your mind and turn away from the way you've lived and turn to God. That's repentance. Changing your mind, and I'm telling you, everything else will change. Your desires will change. Your heart will change if you will turn to God and ask him for his help today. Then you've got to believe in Jesus. You've got to put your faith in Christ. The Bible says it's by grace that you're saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. You say, I choose to believe in Jesus and that he will forgive my sins today and make me white as snow because he's promised to do that very thing. And then you need to make him the new boss of your life. He needs to be in charge. We can't run our own life. I can't run my life. Nobody else can. But the Lord Jesus has come to be the Lord of all, to be the boss, to be the one in authority. So would you pray this prayer, if these three things, if you're willing to do them today, to turn away from your sin, turn to God, to put your faith in what Jesus did on the cross for you, and to make him the boss of your life. Would you pray this prayer? Dear God, today I ask you to forgive me of my sin, and I turn from living for myself to living for you. I turn to you. Today I'm choosing to believe that Jesus died for me. I'm going to say, I haven't ever understood it, but I choose to believe that you died for me on the cross. And all that means, I maybe don't know right now, but I want you to forgive me of my sin. And today I make you the Lord of my life. If you're praying that prayer, if that's what's in your heart, would you please just lift your hand? That's all I'm going to ask you to do today. If you're praying that prayer, hold your hand up. Is anyone praying that today? Anybody praying that prayer today? Amen. Well, God bless you. I hope that you'll be back next Sunday. Let's grow this year. Let's grow exceedingly this year. Brother John, would you lead us in prayer, please, as we close?